I wasn't sure I was supposed to do this until the Lord put it on my heart at the 9 o'clock service, first service. So if you have your Bible, can you lift it up for me? If it's on your phone, lift up your phone. If it's in your heart, lift up your heart. Okay? And if you're so inclined, just repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. Redeemed, sanctified, set apart, covered by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, I am saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As many of you know, almost every time I get up to speak, I say, I love this book. I love this book. The title of my message this morning is His Presence in the Waiting. Or, Lord, why is my life on hold? So I want to go through three scriptures first to start with, and then we'll get into the body of the message. And so if you will, turn with me in your Bible to the book of James. It's back in the New Testament toward the back of the Bible. James chapter 1. Most of these scriptures are going to be very familiar to us. But I want to read verses 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. And while I'm at it, I want to just say a quick prayer for Ryan Richardson. He's over in Hawassi sharing the word this morning, one of the elders over there. So, Lord, I just lift up Ryan to you, Lord. May your very words from your throne room go forth through Ryan to your body of Christ over in Hawassi. Thank you, Lord. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now turn to Psalms 34 with me, verse 18. And what I'm going to read is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to do the paraphrase from the message. It really spoke to my heart when I was putting this word together. And it was a bit of not a struggle, just God kept telling me or changing when I was writing things down, different scriptures, how to present them, what to present, where to present. So I'm glad it's finally here today so I can get this out. But Psalms 34, verse 18 from the message. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Whew. And he will. I've been there. Just you feel like you've been kicked in the gut. But he will catch you. He's right there with you. Now, over just a few more chapters, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your scriptures that are active and alive within us, day in and day out. Lord, I pray that what's presented here today, Lord, it's your words, not Morris's words. Lord, it's your words. And may I flow with what you have given me through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been on a phone call to a business and you go through all these prompts? You know, if you want this person or this department, you press 1 to 4,000, whatever it is. I mean, it just feels like you're pressing. And you're obedient. You press and you get that. You press and get that. And then you finally think you're at the department where you're supposed to speak to someone, and they say, please hold. Here we go again. I've done that so many times. Matter of fact, this week I had a situation. Have you ever been on a flight where your plane got delayed, or you think you're about to take off and you're sitting on the tarmac and then you get a delay? So you're just sitting in your little small seat now, unless you're first class or business class. But it happened to Sarah and I one time when we were ministering in Russia, about ready to fly out from Moscow. And they said, we need to de-ice, because this was in December. And so that was a bit of a delay. And then, because we had a connection in Frankfurt that was real tricky getting to. So, and then about the time they de-iced us, it was only two runways in that airport. There was a crash. One slid off because of the ice. And so now the one runway that is working is for incoming and outgoing. So we're waiting in that plane, waiting. So the pilot finally comes on. He said, if they do not give us clearance within the next 15 minutes, he said, we're going to have to go through de-icing again. So, but fortunately, they let us in the air. And we made our connection in Frankfurt, which was, I felt like I was VIP because they took us through the VIP security. I didn't have to show anything. I just had to be there, and they just put us right through. And we made our connection. You know, for myself, having walked through many trials of many kinds, it seems like there's nothing that tests your faith like having your life put on hold. You're just waiting. You're just waiting for something. Waiting on something from the Lord. Waiting for a situation. So if you've ever felt like your life has been put on hold, for me, it's like I start asking these questions. And you may ask some of these yourself. When, God? When is my ship coming in? When will I be released into ministry? When will I be free of this illness? When will the grieving stop? When will I be free of this disappointment? When will I be free of these circumstances? When will I be free to do what I want to do? When will the right woman of God come into my life to be my wife? Or when would the right man of God come into my life to be my husband? When, Lord? When, Lord? When, Lord? And you fill in the blank. I think we've all been there. I'm tired of being on hold, Lord. I'm tired of things happening to me that I feel like I just don't deserve. I thought I was going one direction, Lord, but now it seems like I'm not going anywhere at all. The main point, and you'll hear this several times during the message, we may feel like we are not moving in the ways of God, but in fact, unbeknown to us, God is moving in us and in others in ways we do not see, comprehend, or understand. I want to briefly look at some scriptural examples of that, of lives being put on hold, and then go to some personal examples. And then lastly, I just want to list some practical things that God's laid on my heart that we can do when we feel like we're just waiting in a particular area of our life, or we feel like our lives have been put on hold. The first example in Scripture I want to go to, and I'm not looking... If you want to, it's in Genesis, and usually picks up around 30 and goes to the end of the chapter. But it's the life of Joseph. And he was the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. He was the 11th son. And he was born to Rachel, the first child born to Rachel. So he was very special to Jacob. You might say, you read through what he did in all the scriptures, and Jacob had him a very pretty coat made, coat of many colors, you've heard that. And Joseph started having dreams about pretty much interpreting that his brothers were bowing down to him. And then later on he had a dream where it looked like his parents are bowing down to him. So his brothers thought he was just a big uppity-do, and they really did not like him at all. But one day Jacob said, Joseph, I'm sending you out to check on your brothers. They're wherever they were, a great distance away, taking care of the flock. And the brothers see him approaching in his coat of many colors. And they put a plan together to make it look like his life has been, he's been killed by wild animals. They take his cloak off, soak it in blood. But instead of killing him, actually, they put him in a cistern, a dry well. There's no water in it. So Joseph's life is on hold. But then some Midianites come, a caravan comes, and they decide to pull him out of the well and then sell him to the Midianites. So he sold that, his life is on hold. I don't know what he thought. Hey, they're getting me out of here. And then all of a sudden he sold. Well, the Midianites then sold him down in Egypt to a man called Potiphar. And Joseph did well there. Even though he was a slave, he became the main man in Potiphar's household. Until Potiphar's wife did this weird little thing to him and tried to get him to come to bed with her. And he ran. And the coat was left. And she lied to her husband about what had happened. And again, Joseph ends up in prison. His life put on hold again. We may feel like we are not moving in the ways of God, but in fact, unbeknown to us, God is moving in ways in us and others that we may not see, comprehend, or even understand. God was moving in Joseph's life in ways that Joseph did not understand. And he did stay in jail for a time. But he became an interpreter of dreams, and that got him out because of God. He said, God knows. So Joseph ended up being second in command of all Egypt, if you read through the end of Genesis, for the sake of God's people, Israel. So God was at work, even in the waiting, even in being on hold. God was there. God's presence was always there. I want to look at the life of Paul, and we're going to pick up where his name is still Saul of Tarsus. And he was a persecutor of Christians. And we can read in Acts chapter 8 where Paul stood by, where Stephen was being stoned. And then later, beginning in chapter 9, he asked for letters from the high priest in Jerusalem to go to Damascus so that he can bring in those that proclaimed to be part of the way. That's what they called the Christian movement back then. They would call the way, those that followed Jesus Christ. So he was on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus. Most people think it probably a 5 or 6 day journey for him, but when he got close to Damascus, this bright light flashes, boom, and he gets knocked off his donkey, his ride, and he hears the voice coming from heaven saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul asks, "Who is this, Lord?" He said, "Yes, it's Jesus Christ, the one you are persecuting." We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 9 at verse 7. We're going to read 7, 8, and 9 here. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Saul's life was put on hold just 3 days until Ananias showed up to lay hands on him and the scales fell from his eyes and he could see. And that was a work in itself. Ananias did not want to go see Saul because he knew all about him. Had a little back and forth with the Lord, but the Lord said, go. He's the one that's going to take my message of salvation to the Gentiles. So Paul, all of a sudden, has an assignment he doesn't even know about yet. Because God's working in ways we do not know or even understand sometimes. But really, Paul's life was on hold longer than that. Most Bible scholars believe that Paul's first missionary journey was between AD 45 and 48. His conversion took place 10 years earlier, around AD 35. 10 years of waiting to take the gospel message to the Gentiles. He was teaching in synagogues. Scriptures tell you that. But to be released to take it, 10 years of waiting. And then there were all the times that Paul was put in jail. Your life put on hold again. I like the story in the scriptures in Acts chapter 16. And it tells of Paul and Silas being in prison from about Acts 16:16 until verse 40. And they had called a ruckus in the town there of Philippi. So the magistrates put him in jail, darkest place in the jail. They're in chains, they're in stocks. And the scriptures tell us that around midnight, Paul and Silas began praising God, singing hymns, as if, hey, can you see that? I mean, they're in stocks, their feet, their hands, and they're praising and singing hymns to God. Earthquake comes, the chains let loose, the stocks let loose. The jailer is about to kill himself, and Paul says, stop. And the jailer and his household come to know Jesus Christ. Paul taking the word of God to the Gentiles. We may feel like we are not moving in the ways of God, but in fact, unbeknownst to us, God is moving in us and others in ways we do not see, comprehend, or even understand. One last scripture reference. I want to look at the prodigal. The parable Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15 is of a father who has two sons, and the youngest son says, goes to his father and said, I want my inheritance. And that usually doesn't happen until the father has died, he's gone. But the father agrees, gives the younger son his portion of the inheritance. And the story tells us that he went off and just squandered every bit of it in wild, really wild living until he had nothing left. So he goes to work for a pig farmer. And even the husk that the pigs are eating are appetizing to him because he has nothing. And the scriptures tell us when he came to his senses. I've been there when I've come to my senses. Back in my 20s, I was a prodigal. And I woke up one morning knowing I was not where I was supposed to be. It's like coming to your senses. And if you heard part of mine and Sarah's testimony, I went back and I begged my wife for the second time to take me back. Only grace and mercy upon her allowed her to do that for me. So when he comes to his senses, he said, my father has hired hands and they get fed, they get taken care of. I'm going to go back to my father and say, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Just let me work for you. I'm not your son. Just let me work for you as a hired hand. So we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 15, verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I once heard the word hope defined as the excited anticipation of what is about to happen. The excited anticipation of what is about to happen. I see that in the Father. When he was a long way off. Scriptures didn't tell us, but I had a feeling that Father was looking morning, afternoon, evening for the return of his son. Hope. The excited anticipation of what is about to happen. If I may encourage you, never give up hope if you're in a situation with a prodigal. Never give up hope. It may not be exactly like the one in the Bible. Your prodigal may be doing something else. But he's in a land, he's in a place where he doesn't belong. All right, I wrote this, Lord, drop this in my heart doing worship. I think this applies to a prodigal, whether they're here or listening online, or someone that may hear this message later. God is untangling hearts from a web of lies spun by the enemy. I really believe that this morning. God is untangling hearts from a web of lies spun by the enemy. Never give up on yourself if you are a prodigal. Never give up praying for that prodigal. Never. Have hope for him or her. Some personal examples. My call into ministry definitely did not take place overnight. I've heard testimonies where it's very similar to that. It really is. If I had to be honest, I heard something when I was 16. But as you heard, in my 20s, I was off somewhere else. And it wasn't until I was 48. Now that's a long waiting time until I was 48 that the Lord released me into ministry. But he was working things in me that I had no idea he was working in me during all that time. There was another time Sarah and I were moved out to California, Southern California in 1979 to help start a church plant out there. And we spent 8 years, almost 8 years out there. And but around 1984, September, fall of 84, I heard from the Lord, move to Georgia. And that's where we moved from Georgia to California. Now, that was quite a trip for this southern boy, never been west of the Mississippi. So, saw some strange things out there. I don't mean that bad. I just like, it was just eye-opening to me, you know, at that age. I mean, it really was. But, and he said that in 84. Well, we didn't move back until 1987. 3 years of waiting, of feeling like we're on hold. I heard you, Lord, move to Georgia, but nothing was coming together for it. Nothing. I shared it with my spiritual father in the Lord, and he shared it with the pastor, and there wasn't a whole lot of confirmation coming forward from people, but I knew what I heard, okay? And it was plain. But in between those 3 years, what happened was Sarah, my wife, and I were tapped. We had three young kids at the time to start a Sunday school for the church we had planted. And so we did. We put everything together, the curriculum, the teachers, the schedules. And it just was flowing smoothly for 3 years. You know, everything was. And I think God had us do that so that when the handoff, that would keep going. And it was the handoff to whoever was taking our place at that time. It just a smooth transition. And we could leave. In 2004, I was at a church conference, and I went up for prayer, and for me, when I went up for prayer, pastor touched me, and next thing, I'm laying on the floor, okay? It's just the power of the Holy Spirit just knocked me down. It wasn't him. It was just like, I went down. And two things the Lord told me. He said, your feet will walk in the councils of Albany, and your feet will walk in India, specifically the red dirt of India. So I get up, and later on I share with my wife what I heard, and she was okay with my feet walking in the councils of Albany. But concerning India, she said, I'll take you to the airport, and I'll pick you up when you get back. She was not on board. Well, the council thing, I said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna take the council thing first. It's close to home. It's close to home. So I did. I started just walking our downtown area, praying for the government, and started sitting in on work sessions with the city council and just seeing how things operated, the regular meetings where they voted things in or out or whatever. And the Lord released me to put my name in the pot to run for city council. And it took a runoff, but I was there. And I did that for 4 years and just did not think I was supposed to do it anymore. So I didn't run again. The India thing, however, took from 2004 when I heard it until 2015. Now that's 11 years of waiting for God to fulfill things in your life that you heard from him. And one of the main things that had to happen was I felt like I was not supposed to go without my wife. This was a two-party thing. And Sarah went on a women's retreat, and then when she came back, she took a few days before she actually told me this, because she was afraid to. She said, "I heard from the Lord that I'm supposed to get my passport." And I said, praise God. She said, but I'm not ready to leave yet. But in 2015, God just, everything just started falling in place. We may feel like we're not moving in the ways of God, but in fact, unbeknownst to us, God is moving in us and others in ways we do not see, comprehend, or even understand. My last personal thing I want to share, and I've had many. We were in Mexico in 2016, and we were in a village called La Tinaja. It was a small village, and there was no ministry there, but we did want to just walk the streets if we could. and they were looking at doing humanitarian support there, a new roof for some people, things like that. But you have to get permission from the jefe of the village, the boss, pretty much like the mayor. He's elected into that position. But we had to go see the jefe and say, you know, we just want to walk the streets. We want to look and see if there's things we can do for you here. And so I walked with one other gentleman, and as we were walking the streets of Latinaha, I just felt, I mean, you could feel, we were kind of like in a bubble, but we were parting darkness as we walked. And it's like, I moved my hand, it just felt like I was pushing through darkness whenever we walked, and we were praying. And it wasn't until we went back and forth several years, but we were, last time I was there in that particular area was 2022. And I asked about that village, what's happening in Latinaha? And they said it was probably 2 years ago, which would have been around 2020, the gospel light just fell on that village. You just never know. You just never know. The waiting. You might think, well, that village was on hold, but yeah, when God was ready for them to receive the gospel message, boom, it was there for them. Just some practical points about waiting when you feel like your life is on hold. And listen, it's not your whole life. You need to realize that. It's probably just one area of your life you feel like maybe on hold. But listen to some of these practical things. Number one, it's okay to complain. David did. If you read his Psalms, man, he just put it out there before the Lord about where he was at, what he was feeling, how he felt like he was being attacked and people coming against him. But in the end, he was always pouring out praise to God in the midst of it, regardless. So it's okay to complain. Just don't get stuck in your pity party, okay? Don't get stuck there. It's always within us to ask, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? From my experience, very rarely do I get an answer to that question, to the why. Which leads me to number two, is to pray and to press into him as never before. Pray and press into him. Press into his word. It's alive and active. How can I learn from this waiting, Lord? That's what I've found out. The better questions are how and what, Lord. Not why, but how. How can I learn? What do you want me to do in the midst of this waiting, Lord? What do you have for me to do in the midst of the waiting? What do you want me to learn, to know, to try to understand? Which leads to number three, develop a teachable spirit in the midst of the waiting. You're pressing into him more and more. Have a teachable spirit. We may feel like we're not moving in the ways of God, but in fact, unbeknownst to us, God is moving in us and others in ways we do not see, comprehend, or even understand. Number four, ask how can I continue to serve the Lord, his body, in the midst of waiting? I was saying that in the midst of my experience, in the midst of these waiting periods, these waiting seasons, you're feeling like your life is on hold. It's not that your whole life is on hold, because we get up and we greet a day, every day. We get up, we're breathing, we're living, we're doing something. I'm not saying it's easy in the waiting at all. It can be frustrating. The waiting can. But if you know you're going to be up, I go to this Psalm 118, verse 24. Just about every day I awake. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He has something for us. It may your waiting not be over for what you know your life is on hold about. So in the midst of that, wake up with a willing spirit to say, I'm here to serve you, Lord, your body, your people, serve my family, serve my neighbors. Be willing, fellow workers. It may be even a stranger the Lord wants you serving and helping in the midst of your waiting. Number five, and we sang of this morning, keep hope alive. That excited anticipation of what is about to happen. And you do that through praise and worship. That's what Paul and Silas did. They were in the darkest part of the jail, and at midnight, and in chains, and they kept hope alive by praise and worship. I do that. I found that helps. You can find a lot of things on YouTube, and my favorite thing to find is praise and worship, whether it's Hillsong. I like Lauren Daigle. I like Elevation. I just fill my house, fill my heart, fill my spirit with praise and worship. And again, his word, keep hope alive because this is alive and active in you. Number six, be open for help from others. Those who have walked through similar times and seasons and circumstances and situations that may be very similar to yours. Ananias got sent to Paul. Someone may be sent to you to encourage you with words or help. Be open for that. Number seven, be open for his next move in your life. Even if it is not what you expected. It may not be what you were hoping for, but he's got something else for you. Because you never know how he's moving in you or in others to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And number eight, the last one. When released from the waiting, when you feel like, yeah, my life is no longer on hold, when the waiting ends, it's not about you, but it's about him. It's about his glory, his purposes, his kingdom. That's how Paul felt when he was released and he started those missionary journeys to the Gentiles. You can read it in his writings. Far be it from me if I ever stop preaching Christ and him crucified for our salvation. It's for his glory, his purposes, his kingdom, when we're released from whatever it is. You fill in the blank, what you're waiting for. I'd like to ask the worship team to be coming back up. And I truly believe that when God was helping me put this word together, that it would strike a chord of strings in people's heart today in different ways. And I still sense that today, that something that God has spoken today is striking your heart of where you are, whether it's being on hold or whether it's a prodigal you may be praying for. And I encourage you, pay attention to the waiting times in your life. When you feel like your life is on hold, even past waiting times, we can learn from. Pay attention to past waiting times. Pay attention to current waiting times. Be prepared for future waiting times. It's happened so many times in my life. No, without a doubt, we may feel like we are not moving in the ways of God. But in fact, unbeknownst to us, God is moving in us and in others in ways we do not see or comprehend or even understand. I'm going to ask the prayer team, elders, to come forward for those that may be ministered to this morning. They know and they are prepared to pray for you. I think we have a great prayer and ministry team among us. Or maybe you just, I wrote this and God said, that's not true. It's an oxymoron. But I wrote down, maybe you want to be alone at the altar. And God said, that's not true. If they're coming to meet me, I'm there to meet them. They are not alone. Wow. You may just want to be here with you and Father this morning. That's fine. That's fine. I've done that many a time. My prayer for you, and still for myself, the words I would simply speak is, He is always present in the waiting. He's always present when you feel like your life is on hold, or a portion of your life. Pour your heart out to Him. Press into Him. Ask Him to give you a teachable spirit and a willing spirit to continue on day in and day out, regardless of what you're waiting for. Keep hope alive. Praise Him. Worship Him. This is alive. The written words become live and active within us. Be open for help from others. Someone can speak a life-giving word into you in the midst of your waiting. Be open for the next thing He has for you. And when the waiting stops and you're released, give Him the glory. I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe today, whether you're here, whether you're listening to this message online, maybe you're that prodigal that's been waiting. And God is saying, it's time. Return. It's time. Return. Their hearts being untangled from a web of lies spun by the enemy this morning.